we're a destination city, despite us locals maybe not seeing it. It's because we're so used to seeing it. But our food is different than anywhere else in the country. We have architecture that's different, and the experiences and people. Just this big, warm gumbo pot, and it's so foreign to outsiders, which I think is beautiful, but we just think it's normal.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder. We're excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana. We have all the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary, and I love this show today.
Yes. It's kind of right up your alley, isn't it?
It is. We're talking wedding planning.
With Sarah Lasher, but not just specifically wedding planning, more about why Lake Charles is a wedding destination that you're sleeping on.
Yes.
It's the best wedding destination you've never heard of.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
don't pass it up. And for local people, don't think you need to go anywhere else to have a beautiful, fantastic, fun wedding. Sarah's going to tell you all about that.
Our out-of-towners may be considered as a wedding destination.
Obviously.
Because she is in the camp that we are a wedding destination. Episode 98. So we're also getting very close to 100. We've got a lot of fun things coming down the pipe for episode 100, a few different kind of announcements to make. We'll talk a little bit more of that next episode. So much to get to. But before, of course, we get to that fun conversation with Sarah, you know what time it is. It's On the Eats.
This week, we headed over to the Cajun's Wharf Grill and Bar. It's right on Ryan Street, kind of busy, heart of Lake Charles.
Yep.
Kind of thing. Great spot that, to be fair, I'm not going to lie, been there a couple times, but never for food. I've only been there to have a good time,
Yeah. Do
a little dancing and hang out. So I was really surprised by the food.
And, you know, they've always served food. They've been open for decades.
Yeah.
New ownership about 10 years ago. They've always served food, though. And that's, you know, they're a grill and bar, right? So
Yeah. That
has always been their focus. And that and fun atmospheres. They always try to do something there for a little bit. They had a golf simulator. They try on the weekends to have, like, games on their TV to be able to interactive. Just to, as you said, to have a little fun.
Have a good time.
And that's really what they're going for. And when they talk food, they really have a nice eclectic menu from like baskets and sandwiches and a bunch of different appetizers that they do. They're really known for their duck tenders.
Mm-hmm.
My coworker Candy loves them. She is obsessed with their duck tenders. They've got things like boiled shrimp, of course. Their burgers are great. They're fresh, never frozen. So their menu is a nice, you know, it's not just bar food.
Yeah. No, it's elevated.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you might think chicken wings and pizza or nachos or something like that.
And they do have pizza,
too. They have these items, but they're all, like, elevated.
They're done well.
They're done really, really well.
Yeah,
for sure.
And so let's open up the duck tenders. Very good. They were super crunchy, kind of like a panko almost outside.
Mm-hmm.
They had a sweet chili sauce that was good. It's a little spicy, I guess, for if you're spice adverse. You know, it might be a little spicy, but that's the point. It's a sweet chili sauce. It was very sweet in the perfect way. Nice little pepper flavor. And it pairs well, right? So duck is obviously avian. It tastes sort of like chicken in a way.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, it's close enough, but very, very good. And so I can see why, for example, Candy loves it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's crunchy, it's sweet, it's kind of spicy. It's got all the notes that you're looking for.
You know what I love? The pelican roll. This is a boudin jalapeno, like, egg roll, right?
Mm-hmm.
The boudin's so good inside it. I didn't know, when I first ate it, I just grabbed it and ate it. I wasn't paying attention to what it actually was. And I was like, yes, this is so delicious. It's really, really good. They served it with wharf sauce. So that's like their tangy, sweet kind of signature sauce that they do. It was very good. Crispy on the outside, packed full of flavor, boudin flavor on the inside.
Yeah. And I was really impressed with their sauces. There were so many different sauces that they had.
Yeah.
And they were all pretty good and tasted different. Even some that looked similar tasted much different. So then, that was only two of like 16 different appetizers. There were so many. Oh, and when we went, Tuesdays are half-price appetizers there as well.
Happened to land on a good day.
Yeah, so it kind of worked out really well for us too. So for the entree, I went with the backstrap, the venison backstrap. And they do them two ways. They do them either grilled or fried. And so I got them both ways because, of course, I did. The white comes, they suggested their white gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like a chicken fried steak style.
Sure. Okay.
And then the other, the grilled came with their aioli. So nice. Kind of like an aioli grilled chicken style
the
sandwich.
Aioli
which
was really good.
Yeah. And so the white gravy was great. It had a great pepper flavor. And the backstrap is so tender. I mean, it makes sense with where it is on the deer. It is in a spot that isn't muscly, so of course it's tender, right? Like, that's why the backstrap's so good. A light flour batter, so good. It was tender. You know, it's so unique. It's kind of somewhere in the beef realm of flavor, obviously, but it's venison. It tastes a little different, right? Just like duck tastes a little different than chicken.
Yeah, I mean, it has its own unique flavor.
Exactly, but it's in that world of flavor,
mm-hmm.
of meat flavor. Right? Can I coin that, meat flavor?
I feel like that's been coined. I don't know that you can steal
anyway,
those words.
It was very, very good. I really enjoyed the backstrap fried and then grilled. It was amazing as well. It was tangy and paired well with that aioli. The aioli was tangy, not the meat. And so it was so, like, the cut is so thick and so it's just so meaty. And it was so good with the sauce. I really enjoyed the backstrap, and I can understand why
you're gonna go
it's
back
so
for
popular.
It, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of that aioli, I poured it all over my sandwich. It was really, really good, and it was great on the grilled chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Grilled chicken was super flavorful and had a little bit of that char on it.
Yeah.
So it was such a good, I mean, I don't know. I feel like a grilled chicken sandwich sounds like a throwaway, but it wasn't. It was packed with flavor. They had pepper jack cheese on it, served on sourdough bread, which we all know is my favorite. That with the aioli on it, like, nothing beats it. It was good.
Yeah, and the aioli was so tangy. Like, it was just very good.
Yeah, you know, it was really good and kind of is one of those, like, sauces that goes on everything. You could put it on a burger. You could put it on your sandwich. You could put it on
your grilled venison backstrap.
Dipped all of my French fries in it, which, by the way, were sweet potato fries. They were so good.
They were very good.
And I dipped every single one of them in the aioli. So.
I stole a few. You didn't see it.
Good stuff. Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah.
But no, really, really good. I was quite surprised. So give it a try over at the Cajun's Wharf. On Ryan Street.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Sarah Lasher. Sarah has been at the heart of Lake Charles events since 2012, working hundreds of weddings and celebrations across the area. What started as a side hustle grew into a full-fledged event planning business, and along the way, she's worked with celebrity entertainers, helped produce the Louisiana Beer Festival, and became one of downtown Lake Charles' most passionate advocates. And today, we are talking weddings, events, and why Sarah believes that this city is still building its skyline. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Ah, thanks for having me.
So to get started, we like our guests to kind of know how you play in Louisiana's playground. So we have some rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Crawfish or gumbo?
I mean, the old stamp. I can eat gumbo in the summer.
Okay.
I eat gumbo
that
all the time.
Answered question 1B, which is there a gumbo season?
No, it does not exist.
What about beach or pool?
Gah. Am I just not a water person?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I really don't think I am a water person. I feel like that's terrible.
Concrete. Okay.
I just, yeah. Yeah.
Concrete. Okie dokie. What about concert or comedy show?
Oh, concert all day.
Yeah.
We're music people in our house. It almost never goes off.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that one. But unfortunately, ours is nothing but Zootopia 2
song. We're kind of there.
Yeah,
Are y'all in the same? Same season
right
of life.
Now, we are very much same. Shakira fans, apparently.
Yeah,
so.
Apparently we are.
The
so
real
says our
question:
three-year-old.
Is it on Kids Bop? If it's on Kids Bop, it's probably playing upstairs.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, Kids Bop.
Well, look. Besides just being described as not a water person, you also described yourself as one of the kind of behind-the-scenes nobodies with a love for all the nuts and bolts that hold a wedding together. And after hundreds of them rather, how does it feel to still describe yourself that way?
Well, I honestly think it's because people underestimate the sheer volume of decisions that they have to make. And so mentioning nuts and bolts from the very beginning, most people are focused on the pretty. Mm-hmm. And the final outcome. But there's so much catering and bar and flour and paper and cakes and attire and styling. There's just every single one of those require decision making. But probably the most painful is the guest list.
Ooh.
It's a living document. It'll haunt you.
Changes.
It'll
haunt your dreams. Always.
Yes. Run into someone in the grocery store, like Charles is small. I heard about the wedding. I saw the engagement on Facebook. I can't wait to get the save the date. And people are that forward.
And you know they're not on the
guest
list.
And you already know they're not coming. So it's the guest list is painful, and there's a lot of decision-making to have there. I like to call it a living document.
No, I love that, because you do. You have the yours, mine, ours guest list, yeah. Right?
Completely.
Yes.
Right. And you have the, it would be nice.
And then my favorite is the event's done, and then you think, were they there?
Oh, yeah.
We're 10 years removed. Our 10-year anniversary is next week.
Mm.
And there are people still to this day who I work with every single day. I love them. They're my best friends. And he's like, I just still can't believe we didn't make it to your wedding. And I'm like, oh, I thought y'all were there 10 years later.
Whoops.
Shouldn't have told me. I didn't realize.
Yeah, totally thought you were there.
Totally thought you were there. I can't believe you think of yourself as a behind-the-scenes nobody, though, because to hundreds of couples, you're everything.
Well, to them.
Yes.
But for guests, you really do want to be invisible. Sure. If I've done my job well, the event takes place without any hiccups. There's no reason for me to be the star of the show. If I'm a star of the show, then there's probably a problem.
Something happened.
Yes.
Something went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been in this game since 2012, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So managing two of like the premier event spaces before going out on your own. How did you make that transition?
Yeah. So my original background is in food and beverage. Mm-hmm. So I was actually doing some offsite catering for the Harlequin when it was originally on College Street. That's how I met Rick Richard.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got tied to Empire of the Seed. And that's how I started getting looped in at Cash and Carry and the historic Calcasieu Marine National Bank building. So I became those leasing agents. And while I was in that position, I did see a number of wedding planners come in and out. Some of them were astonishing and inspiring. And then I saw all these people doing it without a wedding planner or doing it wrong. And I could not fathom how they could spend that kind of money without an insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Like a wedding planner is an insurance policy, if nothing else. You know, I compare myself to a contractor for dads. Mm-hmm. You can build your house on your own if you want. You totally can. You can be your own contractor, or you can hire a contractor. And so that metaphor kind of helps too. But those two properties exposed me to adaptive reuse of buildings.
Sure.
Those adaptive reuse keeps weddings fun. It makes the surroundings interesting. I mean, who would have ever thought in Lake Charles you could have a groom's cake inside of a 100-year-old vault?
Sure.
It's just fun. It's also good for the planet. Adaptive reuse helps. It keeps construction debris out of landfills.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that it's not perfect. When the bank was remodeled, there was no bridal room. When Cash and Carry was restored as a warehouse, there was no bridal room. There are obviously gaps that can be corrected, but the pros far outweigh the cons.
Well, and it seems like one of the, you know, I know, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but weddings are such a trendy business,
mm-hmm.
that is a trend that happened probably 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
That is still happening.
It's still happening.
It's stuck.
Brides don't want their sister's wedding. Mm-hmm. So if my sister got married here, I don't want to get married there. So what else is available? And it was never like that before. We had old standbys that were, you know, decades long in the wedding industry in Lake Charles. Everyone got married there and mm-hmm. they were fine. There's just something about the attention span of the clients, and they don't want the same venues.
Yeah.
And it's pushing us to get creative. Adaptive reuse is definitely one of those things. And we do have some new builds too that have entered the market now, but it just keeps things moving, keeps things creative.
Let's make a case. You're a bride in Houston, in Dallas, in Baton Rouge. What's your pitch to say, consider Lake Charles, do it in Lake Charles?
So funny enough, I would already argue that we are a destination.
Okay.
We're a destination city, despite us locals maybe not seeing it. It's mm-hmm. because we're so used to seeing it. We have food, but our food is different than anywhere else in the country. Mm-hmm. We have drink. I mean, the guys at Cala are just blowing my minds about what's creative and what can be done in spirits and in that world. We have architecture that's different than anywhere else in the country. And the experiences and people. So, I mean, not only you have the Cajun and the Spanish and the Native American and the African influences here, it's just this big, warm gumbo pot, and it's so foreign to outsiders, which I think is beautiful, but we just think it's normal.
Yeah.
And then they come in here and they do a site visit, and they're like, man, this place is just so welcoming. It's so friendly. I feel like I've known my vendors forever. It's just a really nice place.
I do love that about my job, is that I get to interact with people enough times out of the year that aren't used to this. And so you see it through someone else's eyes, and being able to do that, like, I'd imagine living in Hawaii for 20 years, you'd be like, it's just sand and beach, right?
Right.
But it's the same thing here that
it forces you to appreciate it.
You travel elsewhere to see and you think it's cool, and then you forget about it home. But
yeah.
And
yeah.
Look, everywhere I go, you can tell Jill, I love food. And everywhere I go, I'm like, I think we do it better.
I always think we do it better. Mm-hmm. Barbecue, we do it better. Sorry, Texas.
Hey, they said don't mess with them.
I'm trying not to.
Oh, that was a dad joke. Sorry, Brittany. Should have let you have that one. So, okay, a question that brides always want answered but are sometimes a little afraid to ask is, like, Charles, logistically, an easy place to plan a destination wedding that's from far away. Like, so let's say you've got that bride who's from Houston or Baton Rouge or even farther, let's say, logistically speaking, how do you do that?
So I would say that Lake Charles is a completely logistically friendly city. All of our thoroughfares are north, south, east, west.
Mm-hmm.
We have less traffic than most cities. And that's what's helpful about a city our size. We have free parking. We have free parking even in our downtown, to my dismay, by the way. I'm not anti-paid parking. And then there's plenty of lodging, but it's across the spectrum. So we have very well-known hotel chains. People want their points. But then we also have luxury resorts, like in our backyard, that we forget about.
That's right.
Other places just don't have. We have amazing places to spend time before and after the event. Oh, we can talk about that in more depth later, but we also have incredibly friendly vendors, and the vendors that are here wear multiple hats. So, and that's just because our market is small, right? Mm-hmm. So a caterer is the decorator, is the bar vendor, is the florist. That person is staff. They do cake cutting. They help it become turnkey. In other cities, it's definitely not like that. There's one hat for one vendor. And so you need 30 hats.
Mm-hmm.
And in Lake Charles, you might only need, 10 hats. And it's just really, really nice to have all that turnkey. And then in the world of FaceTime and Zoom and virtual proofs for paper and 3D renderings and online invoicing, it really does make remote planning a breeze.
But Sarah, that's too easy.
Yeah, I mean, I could see maybe going about it on your own would be a little difficult, but I do always push brides to reach out to visit Lake Charles.
Is there something that you've noticed from out of town brides, when the ones that have planned a wedding here, that really catches them off guard or really surprises them?
Two things. No seated dinners. We just don't do that here. It takes up too much time. It stalls the fun. Like, our culture is completely geared to come in, fix a plate if you're ready to fix a plate.
Yes.
If you're not ready to fix a plate, go hit up the bar. If you're not ready for that, there's a cigar bar out front. You can go grab a smoke. But you can do any and all of those things at any given time at your discretion. So that is completely foreign to people that are outside of our culture. They're expecting a cocktail 45. They're expecting a seated dinner. They're expecting formal dances and cake cutting, and mm-hmm. then the party starts. And that's already 3 hours into the reception before the party starts. They only get about an hour of dancing. I'm between Houston and New Orleans pretty regularly, and they get about an hour of dancing. We just don't do it that way.
The party starts immediately.
The party starts at introductions. Yes. People are walking into the reception with beers in their hands. I mean, it's just a totally different environment here. And then the other thing that I feel that out-of-town guests are very surprised by, and this could be family, it could be, maybe the bride's from here, but the groom's not, money dances.
Oh, yeah.
Money dances are so incredibly foreign. There's only a few other cultures with overlap. My husband has a Puerto Rican heritage, so they do money dances.
Okay.
And we recently did a wedding where the groom was from Guam, and they do money dances way better than us, by the way. Oh. They made money dance capes,
oh,
money dance boas. It was the most impressive thing that I think.
We might need to pick up
dare
on
that. I say how much money they made, but it was.
That's great.
It was incredibly impressive.
New
how
side
many,
hustle.
Wow.
Yes. We my new side hustle will be constructing money dance boas for sale.
Yes.
That
sounds like fun.
I think at first they're always confused by it. Sometimes they might default to it being tacky, but if you grew up around money dances, mm-hmm. you understand it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up and we didn't even do wedding gifts, but we would for sure do a money dance. It was meant to set the couple up for success in their new life. That money was supposed to be a blessing, a financial blessing, because one of the first things that you encounter as a couple, bills.
Lots of bills.
You can do a gift, but truly what they probably need is financial stability. And I feel sure. like that's an excellent gift. I think money dances are very misunderstood.
I like that.
So let's circle back a little bit, because you said, you know, you can basically make a weekend at Lake Charles wedding, a destination wedding here. What can people do outside? What do you see people doing outside of the actual wedding, you know, ceremony and reception?
So I really like a welcome party, especially when it is a destination. People are arriving, like let's assume it's a Thursday, a Saturday wedding. Then on Thursday, that would be the welcome party. We have amazing properties that can host those events. We have Crying Eagle, University, or Lakefront. I think mm-hmm. either would really showcase the city. We have Area 337, which is interesting. It's different. We have, my personal favorite is Villa Harlequin. I just can't turn it off. I just love everything they do. But then that could segue into a Friday bridal luncheon. And so the girls are gathering at the Beckery or Augustine or Cala. I do really miss Noblesse Oblige, the tea house mm-hmm. on Irish Street. Like, somebody reopened that thing. But bridal luncheons on Friday midday, very, very common. We lead into our, obviously, rehearsal dinners. That could be the Pioneer Club or Cajun Cafe or Bodega, all completely perfectly outfitted for rehearsal dinners. And then you have all these options for Saturday morning activities. I have guys that shoot skeet. I have golfing. I have, you know, people share on their Facebook, on their websites, their wedding websites, their favorite fishing spots and museums and their favorite retail locations and spas, and all that list is fun. Like the Boudin Trail. I put the Boudin Trail on someone's mm-hmm. wedding website because I just thought it would be so much fun for out-of-town guests. Of course, you have the Saturday evening wedding and then that Sunday farewell brunch. It could be at Tia's. It could be at Coffee 30. I'm going to circle back to the Villa because it's just like, I love their brunch. It's my mm-hmm. favorite. It's my favorite. but you really can make an entire weekend out of it really easily.
And something different for everyone. I mean, you'd mentioned the bridal and why they're doing that. The groom and his party, that Daryl's crushing a pull boy for lunch.
They're always at Daryl's.
Man, if we had our wedding to do over again,
mm-hmm.
you'd be at Daryl's crushing a pull boy.
We had a crawfish bowl at home.
For our rehearsal dinner.
Well, that's very fun.
See, that's when you yeah. we got flavor
here in
this area.
We did pizza and wings a few times. You know, yeah. just man stuff.
Man stuff.
You know,
I always make them pick up Daryl's for the guys the morning of for the lunch. If you don't have the experience, I'm saddened by it. So.
You have to. It's a staple. You gotta do it. So, okay, without getting too specific on a dollar amount, do couples generally find they can get more bang for their buck here?
Yes, I would argue that it's like probably a 20% difference.
Wow.
Like Lake Charles is just 20% less than some of the, like Houston and New Orleans, that yeah. market, just as a general blanket statement.
And I guess it's because it's not the popular place that to go. It's
correct. I mean, cost of living in those cities are different too.
Yeah.
So those vendors are making their charging and all that stuff based on their margins, and their margins are probably a lot different than ours. So yeah, it's a good 20%.
And I think it's worth noting that this isn't 1980 anymore in terms of the quality, like the access to quality mm-hmm. that they would have had then would be much different than what a Lake Charles could mm-hmm. have done maybe at that time. Nowadays, you're all buying from the same places.
Yes.
Yeah.
The qualities no more is not different any longer.
No.
And do you think that that's kind of led into maybe some of the readapt, reuse availability of being able to do those things? All those things kind of tie in together.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
And so here in Lake Charles, I mean, what are the options for an actual venue when we're talking about it? We talked a little bit about, you know, a farewell brunch, that kind of thing. But as far as like the actual venue for a wedding, we've got a lot of options here.
We do. And when pairing those, I try to visit with the client about their vision. So everybody kind of approaches wedding. There is no wrong answer. What your wedding looks like is what it looks like to you. And it's very unique.
Yeah.
It's almost a battle. Sometimes I'm having to pull it out of you. So vision. And then we also have to look at capacity. So that is one thing about adaptive reuse of buildings is they're not always ideal square footage wise. So sometimes we do have to compromise on capacity because they weren't built for this mass gathering. Mm-hmm. Other clients, they have a priority list. Maybe they absolutely have to have this one caterer. And so the venue's flexibility on vendors is going to be what matters, you know, because everybody knows everybody and everybody's got an uncle that can cook. And so that's like a big deal for a lot of people, the food. And then, of course, budget. So once we get everybody, once we go through that list, it's a lot easier to pair people with venues. So I will say, not only do we have a plethora, it actually is probably the hardest thing to book. It usually takes us a good 2 weeks to really dive in and explore the venues that are best suited for that client. And we have to hope that they're available.
Yeah. How far out is the sweet spot to be able to book something?
It might be cliche. I really do like the 1 year mark. I like meeting with clients at that time. They can see what the sunset looks like on their wedding day around that time. Like the season is the same.
Sure.
I like being ahead of the game. A lot of people in Lake Charles are actively booking at like the 6 to 8 month mark. If we're booking at the 1 month mark, 1 year mark, we are ahead of the game.
Well, if you're listening to this when this comes out, and it's almost as if this is perfect timing for fall wedding or summer wedding.
Accurate.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Yes. Every bride wants to get married in June. Is that still a thing?
I think that was made famous by like Northeastern brides, when like getting married at some of those very famous hotels in New York, you would fight for those June dates. It's never been that way here.
Yeah.
Hurricane season is too fearful. Like most of my clients, we try to fit them in before the end of June. And the ones that want to get married in July, August, and early September get a very, you know, candid conversation from me about hurricanes. And we just really ensure that every vendor that they book have an act of God policy. They need to have it written down as a clause in their contract. I won't let a client sign on with a vendor who is not a team player when it comes to hurricanes.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes tons of sense. And then, of course, around here, football reigns supreme.
I was
so
about to say, come on.
That was Brady's like only stipulation was like, I don't care when we get married, but like, please don't do it in the middle of an LSU game. It's going to break my heart. So
yeah, football and hunting season, like the opening day for teal is pretty much no one wants it.
It's ingrained in your head every year.
LSU Bama game, nobody wants it.
Nobody wants
that. That might be a good.
You might get a discount.
If
you're willing to get married during
that. It's the LSU Bama game. I'm willing to get married, you know.
and do most brides, I'll say couples, sorry. I say brides because in my experience, I picked the venue.
Accurate.
But do most couples come to you and they are like, no, I know exactly where I want to get married? Or do most come and go, help me, I don't know?
It's kind of a mixed bag. I do have some that think they know what they want, but then after we go through that checklist of capacity and vision and flexibility of vendors, they realize quickly that maybe that dream was just based on aesthetics and not based on logistics or functionality or just the reality
that
of
hit
the budget.
Us. That hit us in the face in a couple times when we were looking.
No one really knows or understands what it costs. The learning curve is very steep, I will say that.
Sure.
And so if you could, some of our really popular ones, the ones that stand out, and maybe something that each of them kind of shine out for.
Everybody's so different. Like, obviously, I think the bank and cash and carry have so much character. And I love, we have some new venues popping up that are really interesting. So, like, I know Chadwater, it's on a ski lake. It's completely outside. The first wedding I ever worked there was an alligator that crawled out of the ski lake. I was just like, and the groom was from London. Oh. So his family were like, what is that thing?
Where is that? Where is Chadwater?
So it's Chad Thielen's old house, Chad and Jan Thielen.
Okay.
And they own the Lacassane Company. They were here for ages. That property got ruined in the hurricane.
Yeah.
And Rick and Donna, who own Empire of the Seed, saved that property.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So it's an old home, kind of U-shaped, very Italian villa looking. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous.
Wow, that's mm-hmm. awesome. And what about some other maybe obscure or underrated venues maybe that we don't hear about a lot?
I think like in Lake Charles, another one would be like Maison Ami. That was a home. It's right there, kind of on Country Club. So it's right nested in the middle of everything. You would never know that there's a venue down there. That's the Tarvers. They've overhauled that home. They've built an enclosed,
huge,
air-conditioned pavilion. The landscaping at this property is just beyond belief. The Royal, I feel like, is underutilized in Lake Charles, but they are they've completed phase one. They're working on phase two, which is their exterior and their the church, which was the original First Baptist.
Oh yeah,
the one with the praying hands mm-hmm. that was destroyed during the hurricane. They're working on the outside of that property. But it's not just Lake Charles. In Southwest Louisiana, we have Leloux in Welsh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever been out there,
no.
But it was their old police station and fire station. They have a jailhouse in the back.
How unique.
It's now a new event center and a great hub for Welsh. Louisiana Red Oak is a brand new build in Sulphur. They built it from the floor up. And then there's also Offbeat venues too. There's Dominion Life, there's Water's Edge Gathering, like a lot of those, maybe that not top of mind, but they still do host community gatherings and rentals. We have theaters like Coffee 30, the South Lake Theater.
Yeah, I've seen them host a wedding before.
Very
yeah.
fun to host a wedding there. Very interactive. We have breweries, we have distilleries, we have hotels. I've had weddings on golf courses. I love a museum wedding. All of those things are really interesting places to host events and gatherings. And now we just need to talk someone into adding a vineyard or a formal garden. That would be great.
Okay. So if you're listening,
if you're listening
in
out there,
this area,
this is any investors.
We have a green thumb.
Yes. This
I don't
is
know
what we're
if
looking
a vineyard,
for.
I don't know if we can support.
Not now.
Grapes.
No.
Chat with us in like 40 years.
Yeah. Yes, I know, right?
Yeah, strawberry.
Look at right now, the closest we have is Free State. That's where my brides that
yeah.
want that vibe go.
What do they say? The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The second best time
cute.
Is right now. The best time to create your outdoor wedding venue is 20
years
ago. The next time is start it right now. Yeah.
Do you ever do beach weddings in this area?
I do. Funny enough, I had the request from a client who wanted to get married in Bali.
Okay.
That's a big ask. But the parents were older, and definitely the grandparents were elderly, because the couple were, they found each other later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shipped in white sand beaches from Kinder, from the Sands Company.
Yeah. Yep.
And we outfitted the entire reception with like lighted tiki lamps, and they had fire pits, and it was right there on River Road. You would never know that you were right there on River Road, but it was fantastic.
Neat.
So artificial, yes. Have I done beach weddings outside of that? Sure. But if you want it, how bad do you want it?
Yeah.
It's definitely possible. Everything's possible.
Understood. I was one of those brides.
Yeah, so, we had to get married on the beach. That was
the rule.
Well, I was going to elope. I was ready to go to the Virgin Islands, which is where we got engaged.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's just go back there. And whoever wants to be there, great, come on. And if not, no worries.
Yep. No worries.
And he was like, I don't love that idea.
I'm going to need my family there.
He was like, I don't love that. So we went to Galveston instead. It was close enough.
Yeah.
We pretended. We edited the kid with the boogie board out of all the pictures. It's fine.
Yeah, Galveston is a fun place.
We did get the coolest picture, though. We'll have to put it in the...
I'll have to show it to you. A huge storm rolled in.
Because
it's just,
yeah.
you know, at the beach in June in the evenings, you get a monsoon
you
every once
get,
in a while.
Yeah.
So giant storm rolled in. Everybody had made it to the reception venue but us. We got a picture in front of the giant monsoon shelf cloud.
We're like the only color in the picture.
And we were the only ones that got rained on.
No.
So we walked into the reception soaking wet, and everybody else was like, what happened to y'all?
what was?
Yeah. But it was a fun time. It was a fun time.
So we know the venues. We know you. Give us a story. What's something for you that has maybe unexpected happened that you had to kind of figure it out? Because I know you like challenges.
I do. Most of the challenges come on the front end. How am I going to make this dance floor work in grass? How am I going to make this tent work with all these trees? So
how am I going to get this beach wedding into this?
How
do
I give you a beach wedding on River Road?
Sand.
A lot of the challenges happen on the front end. To talk about a challenge that happened like the day of, I have been told I should write a book. Like, how many examples do you really want? But most of my challenges are a direct result of vendors that the client wanted to use that were unvetted by me or my team, or I've worked with them before and I've warned them about them and they proceeded to hire them anyway. So I cannot stress enough how important it is to vet your vendors. If your planner is saying that they have a history with them and that it's maybe not so great, we need to turn on our listening ears. I feel like, and it's not just, I mean, I guess I feel like DJs get a really bad rap. Yeah. I have a lot of bad DJ stories. We had Cats and Aliens. Do you guys know Cats and Aliens? The local band?
Yeah.
Local band. Andre, he was our cocktail musician. He was hired just to play for a cocktail 45 after the ceremony. And our DJ that day neglected to download any ceremony music at all. And that's after being paid to run ceremony sound. We went through every song selection with this person before the ceremony, and they still did not have anything downloaded.
Yikes.
And so Cats and Aliens, shout out to you guys. They played the entire ceremony.
Wow.
Completely unprompted. It took just a look in Andre's eyes, and he started playing.
Keep
going. And he did. We've had frozen cakes show up at 9 a.m.,
oh, no.
That was despite me telling that vendor, please do not freeze the cake and show up early. She wanted to be a guest at the wedding, too.
Oh.
I went over the phone, gave her an entire list of instructions on how she should handle it instead of showing up with a frozen cake, and she did so anyway. That cake, it sweat, it started to buckle, it leaned, and after I don't know how many toothpicks and popsicle sticks, we got it to stay up with extra flowers on top hiding our mechanics, but there's all kinds of things that we end up having to do. I'm really good at sewing. I'm really good at hair.
Sure.
I can glue just about anything together. Here recently we had a tent get installed that was dirty. It had holes in it. The seams were ripping apart, and we got all that mended the day before.
Wow.
And pressure washed. And so without having sort of like a liaison there, I feel like, Your wedding is subject to risk.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have someone checking in those vendors and making sure that everything goes according to plan.
Yeah.
And there needs to also be an emergency plan for weather, because we are Louisiana. So it's not just indicative of Lake Charles. I can't emphasize it enough, because I've had a lot of weather-related events in the past, like since October really of last year. We've had tornadoes, we've had rain, flooding, ice. We always have heat. And so you really need to focus on a weather plan that works and is vendor backed, vendor endorsed. And if you do that, you're good to go.
What's the most Southwest Louisiana thing you've ever seen at a wedding?
There's been a couple. I have had a McNeese football game streamed at a reception. That was very fun. As Cajun as I am, I still love a broom dance. Like, mm-hmm. I know it's embarrassing, but for the people that are a good sport about it, it's fantastic. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The older sibling is not married, and they are forced to dance with this broom. And people are no longer just dancing with a regular broom. Like, they decorate the broom
like
to
outfitted.
Look like, yes, the brooms have dresses or suits or spiky hair. It's just hilarious. When they're good sports, I love it. But probably my favorite Southwest Louisiana thing is boudin balls passed as like a late night snack.
Mm.
There's just something about warm and fried.
after you've had some spirits, coats the stomach before you leave, all that good stuff. But it's also introducing them to a flavor that if they're not from here, they've never had.
I love that.
Yeah.
And their inhibitions are down.
So go for it.
So just do it. Sure, there's liver in that. You don't need to know.
Don't ask. Just don't eat ask. It.
Just eat it.
That's you don't. Great. What is, you don't want to know how the boudin's made. That was one of our previous episodes.
Yeah.
You don't, accurate. Just don't ask questions. So we talked about trends earlier. What kind of trends are you seeing right now in weddings that are becoming really popular? And what have you seen that's just no longer done anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of very unexpected colors. This year has been a lot of chartreuse. I've had a lot of butter, like butter yellow.
Yeah.
It's been gold forever. I'm getting asks for silver and platinum again. So like just very unexpected colors. Also color drenching. It's just one color, but it's tone on tone on tone. I get a lot of that too. Actually love that trend. Late night stacks, like I mentioned, sober them guests up before they get on the road. It also helps tell a story. So the boudin tells a story. It tells you where you are. But I've had people that pass stuff and it tells you where they're going. So if they're honeymooning in France, is it fun to pass macarons?
Oh, cute.
You know, like, so it just helps tell their love story. Flash photography and Lambeth cakes from the 80s. Both of those trends are back. Lambeth cakes are the ones with like all that intricate piping that you're seeing.
Okay.
That's a Lambeth cake. We get a lot of drapery, a lot of luxury linens. People are spending a lot on customization, especially on dance floors, like vinyl wrap dance floors, and content creators. I don't know. We have really, really good ones, and we have some that don't realize because they're not entering the market as a professional, so they get in the way of the photographer team. So just if you decide to get a content creator, just make sure that you really explore their professionalism. If they're talking to you very casually, if they're overly casual, they might not have that professionalism to work hand in hand with a professional photographer or in a professional setting like a church, because every church has rules. So content creators definitely in, but just be careful. And then I think what is out are bouquet and garter tosses. I am seeing fewer and fewer of those, and the tradition behind them are a little ick, so I get why people maybe don't want to do it. Flower walls, that's replaced by draping. Neons, I don't see a ton of neons anymore. And then naked cakes, I don't see a lot of naked cakes anymore.
They've gone back to the
Lambeth cake. They have clothes now. They have extra clothes.
Extra clothes, all the intricate clothing.
Please.
Okay,
make yourself decent.
Let's say there's a local couple listening to you right now, and they think they need to leave town to have something special, to have a great, beautiful wedding. What do you say directly to them?
I go back to the learning curve. It's going to be a very sharp learning curve. You have to be prepared to tighten your belt with funds significantly, at least 20%, like I said.
Yeah.
I also feel like you're going to have to face a more corporate approach from vendors. You're just a number. I have 8 this month, and you're just a number. You know what I mean? I don't ever feel that way with our local vendors. We become a family. There's also a lot of fly-by-night vendors in major cities that you should definitely be wary of. Like, look for any red flags at all in their socials, in their communications. I can't tell you how many times researching destination weddings that we have to be very, very careful about vendors that pop up with a pretty website, but there's just no content there. You're also going to either have a lower attendance or a higher attendance. It depends on where that location is. So if you're planning to do a destination in New Orleans, you might have a higher attendance in a more expensive city.
Yeah.
So you'll have to brace for impact there. But if you're going to Ireland, you might have 30 people go.
Sure.
So it might be a sharp.
And that would be a lot, probably.
Yeah. And that would be a lot. 30 would be very significant in Ireland. So, and emphatically, always reach out to the local CVB. They'll have welcome bags with things to do that can help those out-of-town guests enjoy their stay. And very much so interview planners until you find one you trust, you jive with, so that if you get along with them, you're almost assuring yourself that you'll get along with vendors.
Well, let's tie a kind of a bow on this. There's like a couple questions that I want to ask. One of which, you had mentioned the out-of-town couples. When they come in, they have everything, they're planning. When does that light bulb, that switch flip that says, I made the right decision to do this here in Lake Charles?
I think it varies for everyone, but there's two main times. Some know it after the very first catering quote. Is this it? Is this the total? For all this food, this is all I'm paying? So some people know it after the very first quote. Mm-hmm. And then others don't realize how much fun they've had enjoying the process until it's the 1 month mark. We're wrapping it up. We're bracing for impact. The wedding is coming. And then all of a sudden, it's time to say bye, and they're mourning. Mm-hmm. And they're not the only ones in mourning. Like, I mourn past clients that I've really, I mean, they're some of them aren't friends, they're sisters. Like, that's how close. Yeah. All my 2020 brides, God bless you for keeping me sane that year. Like, we are inseparable, and y'all are my sisters. So I think it varies for everyone, but some of them know right away.
And over a decade's work, your business continues to grow. What still excites you for the future of continuing to be in the wedding business and planning weddings and doing that here in Southwest Louisiana?
I love our people. The people here are great. I get to know them so intimately. I have parents that I've seen three daughters get married off, and each time it's happy, but more sad. Like, the empty mm-hmm. nest is coming, and I'm feeling that for that parent. As a parent now, I can identify mm-hmm. with what that feeling must be like. But I would also say what keeps things fresh is traditions and trends, because people will hold fast to traditions, but they'll reinvent them. And then the trends are constantly coming. They're always different. It keeps things fresh. I feel like they both have a place, like fresh and familiar, that traditions and trends, they both have a place. And it allows people to create just like this melting pot of what they want their wedding experience to be for themselves and for their guests.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again for Sarah for joining us here on the show. And the biggest thank you of all goes out to you, the listener, for joining us right here on this here podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating or review wherever you get your content.
That, of course, helps us grow our audience and continue to share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and all of Southwest Louisiana has to offer. Go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this very weekend. I'm Jillian Quarter.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. Sit you.